Negative atmosphere. Yes, there was tension. The tension began from Walid Jumblatt, MP Walid Jumblatt, because of our position towards Syria. And he says this very clearly. He says that his disagreement with us was because he wanted us to take a position against the regime in Syria. We did not have a positive response to this request from Walid Jumblatt because there was no concrete evidence to take such a position. All we heard was accusations, empty accusations. Even the four generals who are still imprisoned today are not telling you give them a trial. Today I'm telling you, free them, because there has been no crime proved that they have committed. These four people who have been accused of being involved in the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. So they requested us, Walid Jumblatt requested us to take a hostile position against Syria. We refused. Now we, of course, are seeing a dialogue. Yes, so tension began with the Socialist Party, Walid Jumblatt's party, but with Saad al-Hariri and the Future Bloc and with the Prime Minister Senghora, there was no tension. On the contrary, Saad al-Hariri was playing the role of the mediator, and we were on the table of dialogue, and we were also meeting with each other, and we always also spoke about the candidates for the Lebanese president. I had bilateral meetings with Saad al-Hariri. There were trilateral meetings between me, Saad al-Hariri, and Nabih Birri until days before the war. Now, the war happened and occurred. Now, at that time, political tension began with us and the Future Bloc. I'm not speaking about the 14th of March because this is not a subject of discussion. Now, what was the tension about? It was it about Sunnis and Shiites? No. Was it about Hezbollah calling for Shiite positions in the government? No. The tension was not about Sunni Shiites or giving Shiite seats in the cabinet, nor about a conflict between Sunnis and Shiites, a conflict of power in Lebanon. The tension was about how to deal with the July 2006 war which the Israelis imposed on Lebanon. How do we confront this war? And how do we exit this war? Yes, there was a clear fundamental disagreement between us and the Future Bloc about this issue. But I want to remind you that this agreement was about the war, how to deal with the war. So the direction, the results of the war would have its repercussions on Palestine and the whole Arab world. And so this does not mean only the Shiites, it means the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Druze, the Christians, in all areas, peoples and governments. So we disagreed on a political issue, not on a sectarian issue. But the situation is just comes to be that we are Shiites and they are Sunnis. This does not mean it's a Sunni-Shiite disagreement. Some religious figures now speak about Hezbollah disagreements, Hezbollah conflict with the Sunnis, and they try to compare this with the previous Islamic conflicts in the Islamic era. What does this have to do with now? We didn't have any disagreements before the war. Now we have disagreements because we have remembered what happened 1,400 years ago. This is misleading. Our disagreement, not for one moment, was a disagreement of a sectarian background with the Future Bloc. Any disagreements were not about a sectarian issue, did not have any sectarian background. Of course, there was a disagreement about how to deal with the 2006 war. They had a position towards the negotiations and the conditions of the negotiations, and we have different positions. You know this, I don't want to go into it because we are speaking in order to solve, not to bring about more tension. But my aim, from what I just said, is that the disagreement was a political one, not a sectarian one. Now, during the 2006 war, but we kept contacts. Let me say this, our contacts continued during the 2006 war. We met in the government, we discussed, and of course also our political supporters were always met with the MP Saad al-Hariri and also met with his associates. This continued until after the war. But I want to remind you, during the war. Today I'm challenging if anyone in Lebanon and in the whole world can bring one witness to say that during the 33 days of the war, I'm speaking about Hezbollah here, me and other members of Hezbollah, during the 33 days of the war, we were subject to bombings, our houses were destroyed, people were forced to leave their homes, our youngsters were being killed, our women and children, their blood was being shed. It was a conflict, a battle of destiny, a battle of existence. But inside Lebanon, a media campaign, a total media campaign against Hezbollah. Those who said that they don't want anything to do with us, okay, we forgive them. But on the other hand, there were some who did not just say they didn't want anything to do with us, they accused us of destroying the country for the sake of the Iranian nuclear dossier. Allow me, how can we convince anyone with such analysis? Let's assume that we waged the war and we were victorious. How does this possibly affect the Iranian nuclear issue? Will America stop pressuring Iran if we were victorious? You said that our war was an adventure. And who were we fighting? We were fighting Israel. Israel, which possesses this technology and which is supported by the powerful, most powerful countries in the world. My dear brothers, if Iran came today to the Americans and said, this is Hezbollah, take it and kill Hezbollah, take Hezbollah and kill it. Let's assume this happens. Let's assume Iran tells America, destroy Hamas, destroy the Islamic Jihad, destroy the Iraqi resistance, destroy Jerusalem, Karbala and Najaf. This is all yours, you Americans, but leave us alone and leave our Iranian nuclear dossier alone. Even if Iran says this, America will continue its pressures on the Iranian nuclear dossier. So we must have the least extent of logic. We must have just a small bit of logic. They believe Iran is the number one threat in the world. Israel sees, views Iran as a strategic threat to its existence, and America views Iran as a strategic threat to its interests. They won't forget the Iranian nuclear dossier if Hezbollah is destroyed or any group is destroyed. It's not about buying and selling. The strength of Iran, the strength of the people of Iran, the courage of the leadership of Iran, this is the guarantee for Iran. At one time they spoke about the Iranian nuclear dossier, then they spoke about defending the Syrian regime. The July 2006 war, at that time they threatened Syria. Had we lost in the July 2006 war, Syria would have been subject to a war from Israel. So they said all this, they spoke about all this, but we were silent. We were accused. We were accused of being betrayers. They said all they could about us. I want to tell you something. 33 days, did we respond with one word? Not the leaders, people. Did anyone accuse anyone else of betraying the country? No. We were all behaving in the same way. We said our priority was this battle, and we'll put up with all what is being said about us inside Lebanon. Even after Lebanon, we said their priority was rebuilding the country, not political tension and political escalated rhetoric. After the war, they continued, and we heard the statement made at that time, the statement in the Bristol Hotel. What we called for after the war was one thing, a national unity government. When we called for the national unity government, did we say we want a more portion of power for the Shiites or a higher portion of power for Hezbollah? Now we have a fraction of power for Hezbollah. Of course, this was our choice. But what happened was that we called for a national unity government because the country was in need of all factions taking part. Unfortunately, we then were in a confrontation with the Prime Minister, who is a Sunni person. This is a coincidence. Sunni Future Movement is a Sunni group, and we are Shia. But I want to tell you once again, after the end of the war, the problem or the disagreement was a political one, not a sectarian one. But after that, after we called for a national unity government, we began to enter a new phase. I want to now say something which I was hesitant to say before. Now, this is what we see on certain internet sites for certain takfiri groups, and in some mosques in certain Arab cities, and in some Arab newspapers as well. And unfortunately, until today, it is still said, after 2 years of the war, just like we used to hear in the year 2000, we hear again today. Why did the July 2006 war take place? What they said, or what they say, is that July 2006 war took place because there is an Israeli Hezbollah agreement to promote the situation, to promote the position of the Shiites. After what happened in Iraq, because of certain mistakes being committed, there were accusations to the Shiites, actually, some accusations to certain Shiite groups in Iraq. So in order to promote the position of the Shiites in the Arab group, an agreement was made between Israel and Hezbollah to begin a war, and the result of this war would be a victory for Hezbollah for the sake of the Shiites. This is also very, very stupid talk, even more stupid than what we heard in the year 2000. But unfortunately, this is what is being read. This is what certain internet sites are saying. Believe this, are we crazy enough to destroy our people, to kill our sons, to kill our families? The Israelis, okay, look at the Israelis. Haifa was bombed for the first time. The Israeli cities were bombed for the first time. Israel, for the first time, faces such a harsh war and is humiliated for the sake of what? For the sake of promoting the position of the Shiites in the Arab world. Unfortunately, this talk is unacceptable from anyone who is logical. At the time where the results of the war were for the resistance groups in all the region, in Palestine and Iraq, all resistance countries and groups in the region, and this war was a big dagger in the hearts of the Israelis and what's going on in Palestine. But this big historic victory, they also labeled it as a Shiite victory. They also tried to put the Shiite label on this victory. And you saw after the war that the ideology of the resistance and the culture of resistance and the respect of resistance in the Arab and Islamic world increased. And thank God, the Arab people and the Islamic people do not listen to what is said, to this evaluation which we see on internet sites and on newspapers. Analysis which is not based on any logical foundation, which is not based on any solid evidence, because righteousness is clear, and the issue of resistance and jihad and the aims of the resistance in Lebanon were very, very clear to all. So after the war, this atmosphere came and we entered a new phase. Now, they didn't speak about the resistance which is targeting the Christians and the resistance represents a danger to Christians in Lebanon. They began to talk about resistance and Hezbollah specifically representing a threat to the Sunnis in Lebanon. And of course, a threat to the existence of the Sunnis in Lebanon, and that Hezbollah's arms target the Sunnis in Lebanon. This began after the 2006 war. Even certain religious figures took part in this plot. Newspapers, media outlets, political leaders, Sunnis and non-Sunnis who want to increase the tension, they took part in this plot. Arab satellite media outlets took part in this. Arab internet sites took part in this plot. And today they want the resistance day and night, just as before. They want this resistance to give guarantees that this resistance does not target these Sunnis and is not the enemy of these Sunnis. Can you believe this? But this this is not a sudden plot. It was planned for after the 2006 war. There is one more thing. After or before 2006 war, there was the alternative of a military war on Hezbollah. Okay, so internal pressures did not bring about anything, of course. Assassinating leaders did not bring about any results. International resolutions did not bring about any results. There's one more alternative, Israel to come and destroy Hezbollah. Very clearly, this is what was said in certain meetings, in houses, and they used to put their money on this war, depend on such a war. The war came and it occurred, and the Israelis did as much as they could, as much as they possibly could, they did in July 2006. And the threats of Barak, what he's saying, there was a general, Israeli general actually from the north of Israel yesterday. What did Barak threaten? What were his threats? He said that day and night we are training and we are doing these military maneuvers. But a big Israeli general from the north told Mr. Barak that all of these maneuvers, all this training is wrong and won't solve the problems, and we're not ready to go to a war. This is what an Israeli general said. The Israeli public is also not ready for such a war. So now the issue of military war failed. Hopefully, inshallah, there won't be another war. But whoever was incapable of achieving results in the year 2006 war, believe me, trust God and trust the resistance, this enemy will be more incapable in any future war and won't be able to achieve any of its goals unless something magical happens. There's one more thing. Let's put Hezbollah right in the middle of a sectarian conflict, a sectarian war, the Sunni-Shiite conflict. The Christian issue was solved. And here, this is why many were annoyed by General Aoun and the, of course, curses to Michel Aoun. Just before we heard what was said, just hours ago, we heard what was said by a political figure. Whenever General Aoun says something, the 14th of March Christian figures and also 14th of March non-Christian figures begin to verbally attack him. Their problem with Michel Aoun is the following. Yes, he was able to bring about civil peace between the citizens, and he also was able to hold on to a strong card in Lebanon. Now, concerning the helicopter which was shot, the pilot, the Lebanese army helicopter, where the pilot was shot, he took a position which maybe is a position which some March 14 figures disagree to, but this does not mean they go and curse him. So the Christian issue was over. We began with the Sunni Shiite issue. Before I speak about the events of 7th of May, I want to say just a couple of words. Today, as I said, as I spoke about the media outlets in the 33-day war, we never spoke in a sectarian way. Okay, come, ever since 1990. Why 1990? Because after 1990, Hezbollah had grown, had become mature, was in a good order. Maybe between 1982 and 1990, we were still trying to integrate, and maybe at that time some mistakes were made. There was some unacceptable rhetoric, maybe, from 1982 until 1990. But from 1990 until now, mention to me any sectarian Hezbollah speech. Mention to me any speech which speaks about Shiites, distinguishing Shiites from the rest of the religions or religious sects. Who today speaks in this way, in a sectarian way? Who says this is a Sunni city, this is a Shiite city, this is a Druze city or Christian city? Do we do that? When did we say that? When did we use a sectarian rhetoric? We never did that. We never behaved in this way. We never had a sectarian rhetoric, nor did we behave in a sectarian manner. We didn't have relations based on sectarian foundations or positions based on sectarian foundations. When we begin alliances, it's not based upon sectarian foundations. We always spoke about the national position and the struggle with the Israeli enemy. They always try to use the language of the Sunnis and Shiites. And the other side were the ones who are behind this. I'm one side, yes, but the other side were the ones who played the big role in this sectarian issue. And you heard the language which was used, which nobody used. Some religious figures, some political figures, some media outlets. This hostile language, this very, very, of course, black language, black rhetoric. What does this do? This leads to tension in the streets between the people. Whoever believes that he can bring about civil peace and reconciliation and calm at the time where the media outlets are speaking this way and people are on podiums speaking in an escalated rhetoric. This is a mistake. Whoever wants to bring about civil peace must stop this escalated rhetoric on the podiums and in media outlets. This is a clear result. I'm not threatening you. No, but I'm saying you must stop this rhetoric on media outlets. When I have a harsh rhetoric and you have a harsh rhetoric, you see the results on the streets, confrontations. Last year, of course, we heard this sectarian rhetoric. Last year also, I challenge anyone, mention to me any speech, any sectarian speech we had. This is our commitment. We are committed to coexistence between different religious sects. Now, then came the events of the 7th of May. This was after the government made its two controversial decisions. After a lot of pressures, they put the government right on a confrontation with the resistance after those two black decisions which were made on that black night. It just so happens that the Prime Minister is a Sunni. Were the Prime Minister Christian or Druze or Shiite, and had he taken these decisions, we would have confronted him in the same way. So what they wanted at that time, they wanted the government to take such decisions, to put it in a direct confrontation with the resistance. Yes, they wanted a Sunni Shiite conflict. The reason behind these two decisions was a Sunni-Shiite battle, and these battles would go from streets to streets. This is our understanding of the issue. And now today, when they say they don't want Beirut to be an ally of fighters, before you 2005, people had weapons, but people were in their houses. There was no problem. Who opened offices for certain militant groups under the title of security agencies? Known offices for militant groups. The reason behind this was to drag us to a daily continuous war. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of war and battles, and they use a lot of fighters from outside Beirut. What happened on the 7th of May, we of course have a disagreement. Yes, on the 7th of May, they began with the Sunni Shiite issue, but on the 7th of May, we blocked the road to the civil war. We did not begin the conflict. At that day, on the 7th of May, we blocked the road for the civil war. We actually, correct. The conflict between Sunnis and Shias did not begin, but we blocked the road for such a conflict. After that, we went to Doha. We agreed to stop this campaign on the media outlets. We stopped, but the others didn't. Especially the media outlets of the future bloc. The future movement and the MPs of the future movement. I'm not attacking the future movement, I'm just describing the issue in order to reach a solution. So the attacks continued on occasions, and even not on any occasions, just on any normal day they continued to with this campaign. We had a disagreement on the cabinet manifesto. For 15 days this manifesto was delayed. Did we have a disagreement between Sunnis and Shiites? No. We had a disagreement on the manifesto and its reference to the resistance. The resistance is not Sunni or Shiite. The resistance is something which is attached to the destiny of Lebanon and the destiny of the whole region. This issue concerns everyone. So this was a subject of disagreement in the manifesto. There was no sectarian disagreement in the cabinet manifesto. It was a political one. And actually, it's attached to the Sunni's destiny more than the Shiite destiny. This was our disagreement, but we found, of course, what happened. We heard the speeches which were made in the parliament. In every issue, small and big, they always refer to Hezbollah. They even lied. They said that we were in Sunnin and we had radars in Sunnin. I wish. I wouldn't be upset. If this was correct, I wouldn't be upset. What did they say? They said we were in Sunnin. Today, what did they say just today? Hezbollah is in Aqqar, in North Lebanon. What are our fighters doing in Aqqar? We have conflicts in Tripoli. Many people know how the conflicts begin in Tripoli. What they say is Hezbollah is behind what's happening in Tripoli. Hezbollah is arming both groups in Tripoli. But remember that Hezbollah, and on the day of judgment, we remember. And what makes us patient is that the day of judgment will uncover everything. On the day of judgment, you'll see that the side, primarily the group which worked to stop the conflicts in Tripoli was Hezbollah, behind the scenes in contacts, because we considered that what was happening in Tripoli was very dangerous. And today I support and I announce that we support all the efforts to stop the conflicts in Tripoli. It doesn't matter who, of course, will monitor this process, who will oversee this process of reconciliation, whether it be Saad Hariri or Mr. Qabbani. This doesn't concern us. The most important thing is that the bloodshed stops in Tripoli and the conflicts and battles stop in Tripoli, because they were laying the foundations for a big sectarian conflict in Tripoli which threatens the country and the region. And some were doing this on purpose and deliberately, and they knew the results of this conflict. And so in the name of Hezbollah today, I announce that we support all the efforts for reconciliation. We support all the efforts for reconciliation in Tripoli and in the north of Lebanon in general. Thank God nobody put conditions on anyone in Tripoli. Nobody called on anyone to apologize. Nobody had, of course, preconditions. But remember what happened in Tripoli: the human losses, the burning of the houses, destruction of shops and martyrs is a lot bigger than what happened in the 7th of May in Beirut. But because the people made a decision to have reconciliation, they did not put preconditions, because they began to feel that there is real danger facing all sides in Tripoli and in the north. Today, we tell the Sunnis, the resistance and Hezbollah specifically, is not targeting any Lebanese person, whether he be Sunni or Druze or Shiite or Christian. We're not targeting any political faction, any religious sect. I tell you once again, we're not trying to challenge anyone for power. You see that we got three ministers. No, we gave up actually three ministers to our allies. This is their right. Our allies have these rights. In the history of Lebanon, has anyone done this? Has anyone who has three ministers gave these ministers up to their allies? We're not after power and we're not after leadership. Yes, we find that the resistance will keep Lebanon alive, standing on its own two feet, will keep Lebanon strong. We have, of course, a vigilancy about the Israeli project in the region. And for this reason, we hold on to this resistance. We defend Lebanon. We defend the honor and dignity of Lebanon and the honor of the Islamic and Arab world. We defend them with our children and women and houses and assets and our youngsters. And we don't want anyone to thank us for this. As I said in the July 2006 war to the Arabs, all we want from you is to leave us alone. Inside Lebanon, we don't want anything except for them to leave us alone. And we're not challenging anyone. We're not being competitive with anyone for any power or any positions in power. Then we said we are open, we are ready. And of course, I'm not the one who says that some person, X of a person, represents the Sunnis. We have relations with certain groups, with certain movements, with certain Sunni figures, figures who are known, who are respected, who have a lot of support among the Sunni community. When the dialogue began, with some Salafist groups. The aim was not to break through the Salafist movement. We're from two different backgrounds. Just the same goes for the Free Patriotic Movement. We were far apart. We had disagreements with the Free Patriotic Movement. The understandings come between two faraway groups. We have dialogue, we reach an understanding, we sign a document of understanding. We signed the understanding with the Salafist group. Then they complained, they criticized this. Why? Because they said Hezbollah wants to rip through the Sunni community. Why would we want this? We have good relations with Sunnis anyway. We have good relations with Sunnis outside Lebanon. We don't want to rip through any religious sect. We support any reconciliation efforts in any religious sect, and our friends know this. And we encourage reconciliation efforts inside among figures from the same religious sect. We believe that the unity of the country and bring the country together is one of the most important factors which brings strength to the resistance. Internal instability and the absence of unity weakens the resistance. Now, when they criticize the Salafist group which signed the understanding, we called them and told them, we understand. If you want, you can freeze this agreement. We don't want you to enter into a tense period, a escalation, and of course we don't want you to enter into a disagreement with your other Salafist allies. So a government was put together. Now we have a chance, we have a national unity government, we have a chance to put things together. What I'm calling for today, some people believe that when they prevent this document of understanding between us and the Salafists, we heard what they said. They said that, look, Hezbollah, those who represent the Sunnis in Lebanon are the future bloc or Dar al-Fatwa. Now, this is not something which I should answer. The Sunnis in Lebanon should answer. But I don't deny the fact and the position of Dar al-Fatwa, and I don't deny the support that the future movement has support. I said we're ready for any dialogue, we're ready for any meeting, we're ready for any cooperation in order for us to exit this stage of escalation. And today, once again, I say, come, let's sit down without any preconditions. Reconciliation is necessary in Tripoli, it's necessary in Beirut. And the reconciliation took place, but it needs a few more efforts in Talabaya and Saad Nail in the Bekaa. We are the ones who suffer most in any non-reconciliation, in any internal conflict. We are the ones who suffer the most in any internal disagreement. When we enter into any internal conflict, we enter a stage whereby we feel that the resistance is in danger. Resistance is not a sectarian project, is not something which is monopolized by one group. It's a strength for Lebanon and for the Arabs. So once again, I call on them, come and let's sit down. Now, concerning me, they said I should sit down with Saad Hariri. I'm ready to sit down. So the argument was about where should we have this meeting. For me to go to Saad Hariri, this is easy, but to go back, to return from where he is, this is difficult for me. And I don't think that anyone accepts for us to, of course, try to address a problem and enter into an even bigger problem, a certain security targeting. You know that the issue between us and the Israelis is no joke. It's a clear, serious issue. The Israelis are very serious when they threaten us. So if we're not able to have a one-on-one meeting between me and Saad Hariri, what's the problem on having a meeting on another level between Hezbollah and the future group? We're ready to have a meeting with the future movement, with Dar al-Fatwa, with all of the Sunni religious, even the non-religious Sunni figures, all different Sunnis, even the Salafists. We're ready to sit down with all of these groups, with all of these figures who represent these groups. Today, Yes, of course, I went into many different issues, I went into many different developments, but whenever there is a wound, whenever we want to seal the wound, we will feel the pain. So whether it be us or them, today, my speech in Ramadan, on this night of Ramadan, on this podium, the podium of the Association of the Supporters of the Resistance in this city, the city of Baalbek, who has the inhabitants from the Sunnis and Shiites and Christian groups who have historic ties with each other, from this city of Baalbek, which did not enter into this conflict, this sectarian conflict, which always saw coexistence. The figures, the religious figures, the leading figures in this city were always cautious and alert to overcome this conflict. If we saw a certain individual accident, such as we saw in the Ain area, these conflicts were solved very quickly. Individual accidents they were, but they were solved. Always we saw intervention from religious and political figures to solve these individual accidents so that they wouldn't spread and become real sectarian conflicts. So in the Baalbek we saw efforts to prevent these sectarian conflicts, and these efforts were successful. And we must see these efforts in all of Lebanon. So in this city, the city of the sun, and I hope this, the sun of the city will rise on all of Lebanon, all of the cities. We saw the sun of the resistance rise in this city, and the sun of the Sayyid of the resistance. I once again say, we in Hezbollah, we do not go into any sectarian conflict with any religious sect in Lebanon, and if we have any disagreement with any movement or any party or faction or group, any political or religious group, this disagreement is a political one, not a sectarian one. And we are ready to turn the pages of the past and begin with a new stage. We are ready also to address all the problems, and we are open to any kind of dialogue. I once again call for any kind of dialogue. We are not afraid of dialogue. And as I said once again, some say that Hezbollah wants to run away from the table of national dialogue. No, tomorrow, we're ready tomorrow to begin with the table, with the national dialogue, because we always have the logic of dialogue. We have an experience in dialogue as well. It's not just theoretical, it's practical. And whoever has a different theory, we can discuss it with them. In this holy month of Ramadan, I hope this month will be the month of Tripoli reconciliation, a month of reconciliation in the north, and a month of reconciliation between Sunnis and Shiites, and a month of reconciliation among the Lebanese in general. We must all take this chance. Let's forget our evaluation for one another, the evaluation of the past events. Let's begin. We will take this initiative, and I call on all the others to take this initiative. But my speech is to all those good-hearted people, to the people in general, Sunnis, Shiites, Druze, Christians. Please don't be the wood of any fire, and don't listen to all what you hear. Don't let your sectarian identity control your behavior. Look who is right. Listen, if what we say is right, then accept it. If it's wrong, reject it and tell us you're wrong. We want you to tell us you're wrong when we are wrong. I spoke about Shiite because this is the structure of the country. We, of course, accept this. What I'm calling for is that our people in Lebanon, our inhabitants, the Lebanese people from all different religious sects, I call on all Lebanese to stay away from this sectarian identity, from sectarian conflicts, from this geographic, even geographical conflict. Don't allow any type of battles, of conflicts between Sunnis and Shiites. Refuse anyone who calls for a conflict, who promotes a conflict between Sunnis and Shiites. Whoever it may be, refuse such a language. You Lebanese, whoever promotes a conflict, a sectarian conflict, ignore him. Let him speak to himself. Look for whoever brings us together. Look for the language which brings us together. This is the month of mercy, the month of amnesty, the month of friendship, of brotherhood, the month of being with our loved ones, of meeting with our loved ones. Let's take advantage of this chance of God, of this gift of God in this holy month, to seal these wounds, to bring ourselves together, to live side by side in coexistence, which will bring about a better life and bring a better afterlife. I know I took long, but it's a very sensitive issue. May God accept your fasting. May God accept your deeds. Thank you very much for your support for the resistance. Thank you very much for being present with your brothers in the Association of Supporting the Resistance. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, you were listening to Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, the Secretary General of